particularly care for.
If you liked them that much, you would hang out with them more than once a year.
Isn't that crazy that we do that? But we somehow feel obligated and, you know.
In honor of the baby Jesus, I'm going to hang around a bunch of relatives I've ignored for 11 months.
Family. As my mother's fond of saying. It's family. And so.
Hey, just because I share some DNA with these people does not mean I have to spend my days off with them.
Okay? Or if you don't share DNA at all, they're your
Then that's even worse. If it's by marriage, then the deal is off, okay?
Then you got to get away from that as quickly as possible. So, okay. Bill Vickery filling in for Justin Acri today, Channel 7's Allison Courtney. In studio, the Pigskin Preacher is here talking a little bit about Christmas and what Christmas gifts and all that other stuff. There is an evolution in Christmas gift getting, and I feel, for two reasons, I feel incredibly old. Finally, for the first Christmas ever, I feel like I'm now, it's never going to change for me. Now I'm on a path where I'm forever getting socks or some kind of utilitarian Christmas gift.
No more G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip?
Because as a child, the Christmas gifts were fascinating to me.
Sure.
It was, you wake
up.
You
couldn't wait.
Oh, my gosh. And for many years, there's the action Polaroid of me in a hallway in some kind of footy pajamas, probably Dallas Cowboy, footy pajamas,
wide-eyed,
and there's an electronic football set, and you know, and a quick glance over it, milk and cookies gone, note in its place, just
magical, magical.
Norman Rockwell,
magical,
the come to life,
adulterated joy that I felt in that split second right there on Christmas morning.
And now it's like another sweater, scarf.
Well,
how lovely.
It's a slow fall from the beauty of Christmas, because then slowly as a teenager in through your 20s, these, like I said, utilitarian gifts begin to creep in. And suddenly you wake up before you know it, and there's underwear and socks. And other stuff that you go, okay, this is
Well, there's an
so much.
There's an antidote to the angst that you describe. It's called kids.
It is. That's
and it's why God created kids, because you get too old for this nonsense, but the kids love it, and you enjoy it through them.
All over again.
Yes.
It's that magic, and it's just...
Right.
You want to come to our house for Christmas?
I got to tell you, I don't think having kids is an even trade-off. The responsibility
That's what I'm saying.
Really
you can just come to our house on Christmas morning to see it.
They are a black hole of spending and debt. There is no doubt about that.
Hey, you guys. Hey. Wes can say, hey, Allison, why is Bill Vickery standing
here
at
to experience the magical Christmas. Just let him be.
See, she's thinking about this musical instrument that one of hers is going to get from Santa Claus this year, and then it's going to be clothes, and then it's going to be a car.
And you start thinking,
and then it's going to be a vacation home in Aspen. And yes, it never ends.
Well, who doesn't want one of those?
Well, we all need that.
It's very brief, though, that magic when you really sink it down and you talk about your childhood. And I see my girls growing up, and you just each Christmas, you're like, this could be like that. This is that magical moment in time that you want to freeze, and you want to experience every little bit of it. And
it's like
before they get like you.
It's like a little. It's like seeing a little you.
Listen.
Yes.
Except you're probably the same size as your girls. So there's that.
It is all, they've all got the same footy pajamas over there. But you're right. There's a purity to the joy that a small, innocent child celebrates at Christmas. And it's, but now I find myself more focused on the cards than the actual what's in the box, because I read the cards now. Whereas in the past, it was a tornado of Christmas wrapping paper up in the air to then, you know, rip through things. It was interesting. You know,
what about the cards where people send those letters about what all of their people have been doing this last year? Am I the only one that alternately loves and hates those letters?
So true. Like, it is. Like, you go, ah. But then you read every single bit of it.
It's like a brag-a-thon, but you can't. It's like a car accident. You can't look away.
You
it's
read
like,
the whole thing.
Yes, my son is now. He's won his second Nobel Prize,
yes, and
he's only 14. I'm like, wait, man, my kids are pretty normal. They don't do any of those things.
There is, you're right, the humble brag opportunity inside a year-end update letter from people that I don't care about to begin with.
Can you imagine Basil's Christmas letter this year? I'm now in the Hall of Fame. In addition to being very beautiful, now I am noted for my accomplishments.
Well, and deservedly so.
Baz, and we love you. You know this. Yes.
But yes, but see, I think those things have subsided with the advent and the rise of Facebook and other social media.
That's all old news by the time December rolls around.
I don't need to get that big letter with an old inkjet, one of those things where you pull the little paper off the side. And that comes from my relatives in North Korea who still have to write it out.
And then fax it.
They're
faxing their Christmas letter, threatening you.
So, yes. Yeah. So that's, but there had to be, let me ask you this. I'm going to go around the room here real quickly. And I'll start with you, Matty T. I want to know, there is one Christmas gift that you look back on. I have it in my head. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, through the entire history of your gift getting, your gift receiving, their own Christmas, there's one gift that stands, for whatever reason that might be, there's one gift that stands out. What is it?
NES.
An NES?
You know what that is?
I have no idea.
It's a Nintendo.
Okay, a Nintendo. How old were you when you got it?
In first grade.
You got it in first
grade?
It came
with the Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt on the same cart.
Really? And you hooked it up to your TV, and then...
All night long.
So just there, really?
Mm-hmm.
You were a zombie then, from then on.
And it's all been downhill ever since.
So, yeah, well, and now you are an expert at Bilbo Baggins, mm-hmm, and the Lord of the Rings. So you and Tolkien are right there together. So that's it. But so it obviously made it, you said first grade?
Yeah, first grade.
Made a massive impression.
That's the one I remember.
That's the one you remember the most. Mm-hmm. Allison?
My parents took a storage building and turned it into a massive playhouse that was our own for our sisters.
Oh, my gosh.
And me and my sisters. And so when we woke up on Christmas morning, we had all these gifts. It was a normal Christmas, and it was, mm-hmm, fantastic. And mm-hmm, my parents went all out for Christmas, like all out. That was their big thing. And so we had this great Christmas, and then there was a note, like, just stuck down somewhere that you couldn't really see. I found it. I was like, what is this? And it said, go outside. There's something else for you. And we walked out, and it was a big storage building that they had turned into a playhouse for us that was our own to decorate and put our dolls in. And it was, I mean, it was so larger than life. That was so huge that Santa Claus dropped this humongous playhouse off in our backyard. It was pretty incredible.
How old were you?
I was second or third grade, probably maybe third grade. I think it was the last
Christmas year that you could really...
Yeah,
pigskin. Her parents ruined... those girls...
How am I supposed to follow
man,
that? They had their own house.
What man could ever live up to that standard?
I was gonna,
they were ruined.
I was going to mention, in junior high, I got a varsity jacket from my high school, and she's getting like a whole playhouse.
A whole building is dedicated to her toys.
And I was
alone.
Really impressed with my mom and dad. Now I'm like, they were miserable failures compared to what you just described.
I had nothing. We lived in a storage facility, okay? That was our actual house. And she's got one in her backyard just to put her Barbies in.
Like, it wasn't like that at all. They really just, I think growing up, they really didn't have Christmases. So they wanted to do everything they could to, you know. And now I never do enough for my kids in their eyes. You know, my parents are always like, you could, it's not because I can, or it's just because we have too much stuff, and I did as a child.
And it's because you got to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, how much enthusiasm could you have? Because the girl gets like 2 hours of sleep a day. I mean,
there is an element now. So that was yours, Pigskin, mm-hmm, right? It was that marks a moment in time.
Simple, but
you
I felt
remember.
Like it was like a
big
it was
deal.
Like a Church of Christ bar mitzvah. I was becoming a man. I had a varsity jacket.
You had a varsity letter jacket.
Yeah, I was just this little punk.
It have the leather on the sleeves?
This is the sad thing, though. Our school colors were exactly Ohio State's colors. It was gray and red.
Scarlet? Was it scarlet and gray?
Yes, and I wouldn't be caught dead in those colors now.
Oh, wait, no, it's garnet. Is it garnet and gray?
Well, it's kind of anthracite. Channel Tommy
look
Smith.
At you.
Yeah.
Now, did it have the chevrons on the shoulders there? What was the letter that was on it?
Well,
was it a big...
It was Flint Ainsworth, so it was an A.
A.
But I hadn't earned a letter yet, so I...
It was
really
the jacket.
It was the jacket.
You got the jacket.
Yeah, I got the jacket before I'd done anything athletic.
And then you put all the patches down the side,
exactly,
and you got all that.
But by the time I got to high school, it wouldn't fit anyway, so
you still
it just
have
became
it?
A relic. My mother probably threw it out.
Oh, no.
If you're not wearing something, in the house. She throws it out.
Well, there we go.
I'm reading the paper. She comes, takes it out of my hand, throws it away.
Or the cup that you just take a sip out of.
That's what she does. Throws it out. She throws it out.
Same way, but I do have my letter jacket.
So I have nothing. My wife looked at me when we got married 28 years ago. She said, "You literally brought nothing to this marriage that you had before." I said, "I had a bunch of stuff, and my mom threw it all out." So
did you just stand there by yourself with your thumbs between your eyes and say, "This is what I brought to the table,
I said,
lady.
Hey, I bring nothing to the table,
the
babe.
The big man
that's
right
what it's
here.
About. That's right.
This is how it is. You still have, so wait a minute, Allison. Mm-hmm. You said your letter jacket.
Cheerleading.
Well, no, that's what I, you got the cheerleader letter jacket.
Yeah. I never
They were always
that.
A little different. The cheerleading letter jackets were always a little different than the normal athlete letter jackets, were they not? Do you have a flap?
Yes. Because the pointer prancer.
Yes, a flap with your name on the back. Oh, don't you know?
You two guys could go ahead and weigh in on this. There's something, cheerleaders could take a burlap sack and make it chic and cool. They just had that chutzpah, you know, they could just bring it to the table and
hey, don't bring
you
know, the
anything,
Jews into this.
Anything that cheerleaders touched was just gold. You know, that's just the way I'm sure it was that way when you were a cheerleader.
I don't know. That was the
where
case,
is what was it? It was
we thought
Shreveport.
We did anyway.
Shreveport. Where are we? Monroe. Shreveport. Where?
Shreveport is Shreveport. Where I'm from. I went to school.
And your letter jacket looked. It had the flap on the back, and the school colors were
red and black.
Red and black.
Mm-hmm.
There
we're
we
the
go.
Rebels.
Oh, wow.
In high school,
don't
did the
you
cheerleaders
know?
Go hang out at the casinos?
They weren't there. When
oh, they weren't
that
there then?
That was a while back, yeah. So,
yeah. You know, I happen to be afflicted with an era when cheerleaders wore these massive leg warmers. You know, the
like Jennifer Beals and Flashdance.
Look, I love how Allison's giving me this look like, what the who? You know, the some sort of bad... In our case, it was green and white. Where you put it wasn't a pant, but he put them on and they
green
came
and white.
All the way
they looked
up.
Like insects.
Oh, it was just not
like
a good
Katie
look.
Did.
Like tights.
Not yes, but no, but not really because you could put them on one at a time, and they came up about right under the knee,
okay,
maybe right a little
warmers.
Bit above that.
Okay.
And you would think by the description, wow, that's got to look sexy, you know? No, not at all. The execution was a lot. There's a reason they went away after two or three years. But much like Elvis Dine.
You don't have cheerleaders?
No, leg warmers.
Oh, leg
warmers.
They're up there with the fingerless gloves. It's
yes.
Like, what's the point?
What happened
know?
There,
what
Cyndi Lauper?
What is the point? Yeah.
So, yes. But no, that they went away. But I was afflicted with really coming of age at that point in time when that was a staple of the wintertime cheerleader wardrobe, leg warmers. You just took the best part of the cheerleading outfit and ruined it for me. 15 and 16 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
So leg warmers. And then inevitably there was some girl who forgot hers, you know, and then that was it from then on. So those were your basketball pep rallies were littered with cheerleaders with leg warmers. Not a good thing.
Gotcha.
Not a good thing at all. So well that's interesting. I like that. So to recap, Nintendo, a mansion for toys alone. And a built in the backyard.
So,
and a letter jacket.
And yours was?
The one that stands out, this is going to sound a little nerdy. I wanted, I was a fan of television as a kid growing up. And because they didn't realize what the show was, I got to stay up to watch Saturday Night Live. You know, you studied your Sunday school lesson.
The not ready for primetime players.
Exactly. Listen, I saw it when Garrett Morris was Garrett Morris, Chico Escuela. James
Baseball
Curtin.
Betty good to me.
Rosanna Dana, all that. Well, Steve Martin at that time was really hot, and you know, he had hosted a few times in a row.
Oh, you wanted the arrow that goes
arrow through
head.
The head. Mm-hmm. The Steve Martin arrow through the head.
The white suit.
Keep in mind, this is Van Buren, Arkansas, okay? It is an outpost on the moon culturally from anything else on the planet Earth.
Still is.
But I wanted, thank God, I wanted the Steve Martin arrow through the head. And my mother and father both looked at me like, what in the world?
This boy's
we
got
don't
issues.
Understand Steve Martin arrow through the head. My at that point in time, my parents had to have a conference with my grade school teacher because she was concerned that I was, one, too sarcastic for my age and that I had set unrealistic expectations for myself. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. And so my sarcasm and my ambition was so confounded my grade school teacher that I realized probably was developmentally disabled. She herself is a moron. But But so she, so they go to counsel with, she doesn't know what it is. So finally, and by the way, there's no way to buy it. You know, there's no, there was no, it didn't come in the Sears Roebuck catalog.
There was no eBay.
You could, none of that. Yeah. No, you couldn't. And my dad, it was our county sheriff. And so if it wasn't confiscated from some something, that's how I got a television in my room when I was 20. You know, some confiscated television, black and white. So my mother, to her credit, and this is why it means so much to me, and it, it's to this day. She took a hairbrush, you know, chiseled holes in it, and bought an arrow and chopped it off and made it, and that's how she got me the Steve Martin.
A headband. Girl's headband, yes.
What did I say? Yeah, whatever it was called. Barrette. 70s term.
Yes, a headband.
Mm-hmm. And then
that
she,
is quite brilliant, and that would be on Pinterest today. And there will be people going, oh, I need to learn how to make that.
That's, yes. There's no YouTube video for my mother, who, which is one of the reasons she's a saint.
Magical.
But
she wanted to capture that magic for
her
son.
She was useful. Now, keep in mind, it looked nothing at all like what Steve Martin had. But I understood. That's when I grew up. I understood in that moment what she had done and the effort she had gone to versus just being selfish and saying, well, this doesn't look like the one that I wanted.
Right.
It clicked. It all came together as a grade school child at that moment to say, hey, this is this is not, wow, look what she did. And so that's when I started getting socks. Soon thereafter, socks became, you know, that was the whole thing. So that was it. So that's the whole,
that's so sweet.
Christmas morning.
Yeah.
So there we go.
It.
How about that? Up there in Van Buren, Arkansas.
A good mama. The things that mamas will do to make sure Christmas happens.
Think about that.
Yes.
But that was a, you know, there's some, not to sound like the old man screaming, you kids get out of my yard. But there are moments now that that can't be because everything is so accessible and there's no, you know, that was an ingenious way for my mother to fulfill the wish of a her child, you know, and doing what she could do to make it happen.
You know, for a Republican, that was quite poignant and sensitive. Good
job. let me say this.
He's destroying stereotypes.
That's about it out of me. But that has stuck with me, you know, and that's anyway, I think we're up on a break here, aren't we, Matty T? Doesn't it look there we are, yeah. Well, Patsy Cline?
No, this is the Zooey Deschanel version.
Oh, we've ruined poor Patsy Cline.
This is the
song.
She from the She and Him.
You've had a huge crush on her for a while, haven't you?
Still do.
She was married to the brilliant Ben Gibbard of Death Cab for Cutie.
She's a creation of nerds, isn't she?
Yes. She's adorkable.
Zooey Deschanel, adorkable. Thank you.
She is. How married
many,
a nerd.
How many screen cap images have you downloaded on your laptop at home of Zooey Deschanel? How many? If the FBI broke in there right now, what's a bit fine?
Those aren't illegal.
It's what caused a rift in the marriage of Deschanel and Gibbard.
Could you say in open court, but Your Honor, all of those were public images that I just merely captured from?
He does have a restraining order that keeps him 150 yards from her at all times.
Please. That's why you're getting binoculars for Christmas this year. Is that the whole thing? I kid. Matty T's my man. I made him the man he is today.
I took Matty T
as a unmolded piece of clay, and now he's the chiseled success. Rocket ship.
The little acorn that became the oak.
We get back. I've got to get into the 11 dumbest tweets of 2013 by politicians. Some of these are genuinely disturbing. It just, that's the one thing. Twitter can often be a truth machine. You know? You find out what the people really think when they then press send.
In vino veritas.
Listen, I don't speak German, but oh, a little Leon Redbone thrown in here with Zooey Deschanel. She couldn't carry the tune by herself. Is that it?
She could just do the female part.
Right.
She took that scene from Elf in the bathroom and morphed it into a singing career. Mm-hmm. She really did.
Is that really?
What passes for that?
That's what got her on the radar.
Allison, thank you. You're looking at me like you have to leave, and I've seen you look at your phone a few times.
I've got to get that.
We would love to have you stay as long as you would. This is,
well,
as they say in the
video. Visiting, and I'm thankful that you asked.
Well,
it was fun.
Well,
she whispered to me that your story has grown tiresome.
Right, I've got to go. I got to get out of here.
Heard that one. No.